Morning, everybody, and welcome to the worship service this morning, the 15th of December. The year is marching on to its conclusion. So we praise the Lord for every day, and we thank David and Jean Mulholland for coming down from Ystodloch today. And we appreciate their ministry very much, because it's not just David that preaches for the pulpit, because Jean has got a ministry as well, sitting beside folk and getting to ken folk. And if you haven't spoken to Jean, then speak to her, because unless she speaks to you first, of course, Ken. So there you go. There's going to be tea following the service today, so as you go out into the back hall, please do stay if you can for tea and refreshments and fellowship. Now, this week things are kind of winding down really for the Christmas period, so there's no knitting nutter tomorrow. Is a knitting nutter in their meal yet? Or was that just the end of session meal? You can start with a meal, that's a great idea. You can tell me the date in the new year on. Lovely. There is Monday night children's meeting tomorrow night at 6:30. There's rehearsals tomorrow night on next Monday night for the Christmas Eve nativity at 6:30 p.m. on the 24th of December. And of course you're all invited to that particular service. There's no Wednesday night Bible reading and prayer meeting this Wednesday. It recommences on Wednesday the 8th of January at 7:30 in the upstairs lounge, and Zoom is an option. And as I've announced previously, we went through daily readings in the book of Ephesians in October, and then we did Ruth in November. And so we've got daily readings, 36 undated devotions through the book of Galatians, which we're intending to read as a church from the 1st of January through to the 4th or 5th of February. And if you hint, I've got two books left, basically. So I'll put them in the communion table, and please, if you hint, I got one, please help yourself. And if you don't have one and you want one, let me ken, because I can certainly order more, and it would be lovely to order more. But in terms of the Bible readings from the 8th of January onwards, the intention will be to work through Galatians 1 on the 8th of January, and then Galatians 2 the week after, and so on. We'll finish in mid-February with Galatians 6. But of course, you can still read through the book of Galatians anyway, as hopefully we will all do, God willing, in the new year. There's no Thursday night fitness and fellowship either. That'll recommence on Thursday the 9th of January. I'm assuming that the Friday night Sandhaven Boys Brigade will be meeting on Friday night. Now, I did phone Andy McLennan, and we have ordered Bibles that are up the stairs for the boys. And I did say to Andy, I says, can you manage to come on Sunday the 22nd of December for a family service? Now, I hadn't heard word back from him, and I did ask him for a list of all the names of the boys. So I'll be phoning him, if not the day, the morning. And he did say there's obviously a lot of church services on just now, so maybe the boys have got other churches to go to, possibly. But we'll find out. And if they can't manage next Sunday, we'll maybe arrange it for sometime in the new year. But in any case, next Sunday, John Buchanan is preaching. It will be a family service, and some of the kids for the children's meeting will be singing during next Sunday morning service as well. And there will be tea following next Sunday morning service as well. So effectively we'll have communion not next Sunday, but the last Sunday of the year on the first Sunday in the new year. Do continue to pray for those who are ill and laid aside. And as I say, there's tea following the service. But I'll just hand over to David now. Thank you, David.
Good morning, everybody. Before I forget, I must remember that Graham Swan's in. Some of you remember, you'll be acquaint with Graham, our minister, pastor. He was asking me to pass on his regards. He said on Wednesday night to prayer meeting, and he messaged me this morning, so he's obviously making sure that I do it. So some of you will remember Graham was here 20 years ago, I believe, preaching. And he's from Bells Hill, Bishop Briggs in Glasgow. But he's been with us for 20 years now. So anyway, great to see you all again. Let's begin our time together by singing to God's praise a good well-known choral, O Come All You Faithful. Together in prayer, shall we pray? God and Father, we continue your presence. You're the eternal one, the unchanging one, the all-knowing one, absolutely holy, absolutely perfect, and yet in the person of Jesus stepped down into the muck and the mire of this world, all its turmoil and all its confusion. We thank you for the Christ child. We thank you for Emmanuel, God with us, for that first Christmas. We think of how he lived. We think of how he suffered in his death for us. And we're so thankful this morning. We praise you that he's arisen, Lord, with healing in his wings. We thank you that he's still able to save and is willing to save. And we pray that today, O God, you would lay bare your arm in salvation. We thank you, Lord, for the way you have blessed us since last we met. So many things that you have blessed us with, family and friends, food, shelter. Give thanks for all these things. We can so easily take them for granted. We thank you, God, that you made us to worship. We thank you again for this opportunity to come and to worship, to ascribe worth to you, the living God. And we pray, Lord, as we're gathered, you would lead us on by your Spirit, that our focus would be on Jesus this morning, the most important one that ever walked on the face of this earth. Over 60 billion who walked on this earth, he was the most significant life ever lived on this life, on this earth, and his most significant death as well. We praise you again for him this morning. And Lord, as we turn to your word, we ask that indeed we would have listening ears, that we would be those who listen, and not just listeners, but doers also. And what we pray for ourselves, we pray for the other churches in the area, through our land where your word is preached, where the gospel is preached, that there will be indeed signs following the preaching of your word. We remember Andrew along the road, and we pray for him as he preaches today, that he would know freedom and the unction of your Spirit. So Lord, continue to lead us. May we indeed honour and glorify you this morning. I pray in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Now let's continue with another song, Beautiful Star of Bethlehem. One I'm not familiar with, folks, so you'll need to sing up. That's the next one. Together from the Word of God, and I'm reading from the NIV, and it's Hebrews chapter 1, and just four verses from Hebrews chapter 1. Coming up, yeah. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers and through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven, so He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior today. This is God's word, and he will bless it to our hearts and lives. Now, before the message, let's sing Night of Wonder, Still and Silent, to the tune of, Come, the Fountain of Every Blessing. So folks will be familiar with that, won't they? I think most of us will remember 1993 when John Major was speaking at the Conservative Conference in Blackpool, and he started with this speech that became probably the unfurling of that party at that particular time. Back to basics. Now, in football, that's not a bad thing. My brother was a semi-professional and playing for Lossiemouth, and I remember he used to say that when you were struggling, you went down a goal, maybe two, you would shout to each other back to basics, and they would just concentrate on short passes, nothing fancy, clearing the ball out of defence, things like that, just back to basics. When we think about back to basics politically, it certainly would be negative. But when we think of back to basics in terms of Christianity, it's a positive thing. Back to basics. We think of centrality of the Word of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Triune God. God has created everything. God has provided a Saviour. All these things that are basic within the Christian faith are positive. This morning I want to speak about the significance of Jesus. And I hope it's significant to each one of us. Just a couple of months ago, I was on a Thursday, just to explain, a Thursday I'll be standing outside my friend's church, which is in just going out of Elgin towards Lossiemouth, on a busy thoroughfare. And basically what I'm doing is handing out tracts, making contact with people, and inviting people into the cafe in the Pentecostal church. And it's been interesting. Most people are quite positive when you stop them and you start chatting. And then, of course, you're standing outside a church, so it does lend itself to talking about Jesus. But just a couple of months ago, I had quite a challenging experience when a particular gentleman, really pretty vicious with me, right outside the church. Thankfully, I have the experience that you're able to absorb it and deal with it and not react, but he was really angry. But it was quite interesting that he was willing to say Jesus was definitely here. I'm talking about an academic man, this man. I believe much of what the Bible says. I don't believe at all. I believe the crucifixion. He would struggle with the concept of resurrection, ascension, these kind of things. But it was just interesting to listen to him and to try and engage with him. And as he was going away, there was a lady that was walking down, and another man that was standing with me was inviting her in, and he actually shouted back, "Didn't I go in there?" That told you how anti he is to Christian things. It's actually quite sad, a 75-year-old gentleman, for somebody to be like that. But I'd like to think for most of us this morning, that's not the case, that Jesus is significant to us, that Jesus is our Savior. We love him, we follow him, we read the Word of God. Hopefully we've memorized some of it, because that's a very important thing to do. And I want to speak on 3 points about the significance of Jesus this morning. First, he's significant because he is the Son of God. And of course, this is a big bugbearer to most people. They will say, well, Jesus was here. Yes, as I said, this particular gentleman, he was here historically. I believe he was here historically. They'd go as far as to say that he was a great example. And I'm sure that a lot of folk would also say that he was a great teacher. But as for the divinity of Jesus, well, for a lot of people, that is a stumbling block. But what we come back to, of course, is what the Bible says. And in verse 3 of our reading, it says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." We know that this American pastor put it well when he said, "Look at Jesus and you see God." The wonder of the incarnation, as we think of God who has made everything in all its vastness, beyond our comprehension, who sustains everything effortlessly by his power, yet was contracted to a span in the manger in the person of Jesus. A cow shed. Think of that. Such a strange birth in many ways when we think about the Son of God, when we think about the significance of him, but so innocuous. And yet we know that there in the manger was the one that would come, that came to be our Saviour. Not more than a prophet, more than a miracle worker, the Son of God. That incredible verse in John 8:58, where Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am." His pre-existence. Now, there are some folks in certain meetings who would question that particular text, but for me, it's there and it's clear. The incredible reality that Christ, the eternal Christ, eternal Christ, yet stepping into time and space as a man, a unique man, a man who never sinned, like us in every respect, but never sinned, who knew his destiny was a cross where he'd bleed and die for our sins. The Son of God. I wonder if you believe Jesus to be the Son of God this morning, or just like so many within our society who won't even say Merry Christmas or Happy Christmas because they don't want to offend atheists or people of other religions, so they just say Happy Holidays. Here Americans say it all the time. And then there's the whole thing about the Christmas cards, isn't there? That it's become lesser of a thing for folk to send Christmas cards. Can I say to you this morning that it's an opportunity. When we send a Christmas card, it's an opportunity for us to, obviously, to engage with our folk who maybe don't see the rest of the year or haven't seen for years, far-flung friends maybe in other countries, but also an opportunity to make contact. But somebody can be touched through a Christmas card. Jean and I had a phone call from a lady this week, and she was in tears when she came on the phone. And it was because we sent her a Christmas card. She was touched. We've known her for a couple of years. She's a converted Catholic. And she was touched, and she wanted to phone us and say thanks for the card. So, going a wee bit off on a tangent, but don't minimise the impact of a Christmas card, because the nativity scene, and obviously the verses that were thin, and that's getting lesser now, of course, in many of our cards, you don't get text relating to the nativity story, to the incarnation, the same. But it can touch somebody's life. Scripture either told me a story, Alistair Stewart, a little man that packed a punch, and he said there was a man standing in Elgin on South Street in Elgin. He looked into a window and there was a Christmas card, and on that Christmas card there was a nativity scene, and you won't believe what his response was. His response was, "For goodness sake, they've even taken Christianity into Christmas. A middle-aged man. Now, how ignorant is that? How ignorant is that? But that's a reality with some folk. He is significant because he's the Son of God. And what's important ultimately, isn't it? Not what you or I think or anybody thinks. What's really important is what the Bible says. That's what's really important. Bring it back to the Bible. When we're talking to folk, when we're sharing, we bring it back to the Bible, don't we? We bring it back to the Scriptures because that is the ultimate authority in all matters of faith. Secondly, he's significant because he is the Saviour. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. That central verse in the New Testament, John 3:16, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. As Christians, we must come back to this. This is what's central. This love of God that's so deep, so wide, it's so high, we can never really get our heads around it. About 6 years ago, I bought a car, and it was an Audi car, and I was delighted with that car. It was 10 years old, but it had all the bells and whistles on it. I was waiting to say stereo, but stereo's just 2 speakers. 8-speaker sound system. All the fancy, you know, the gear, the eight-speed gearbox, automatic, you name it, was on it. Gene wasn't that keen at all, but it was, for me, I thought it was a great opportunity when I bought it at the time. But the big mistake I made, and my brothers never stopped reminding me of this since, you really need to have due diligence. People talk about due diligence when you're looking at a house, but with a car as well. And as much as I've been I've really liked my cars down throughout the years, I should have lifted the bonnet. Now that seems so basic, doesn't it? Because if I lifted the bonnet and looked closely, I'd have seen that vermin had actually been at the wiring of the car. Now that's an absolute disaster, isn't it? And it took me weeks before I actually discovered it. It was actually a mechanic who was under the bonnet, and he says, "You realise that there's been vermin at your wiring? It's all chewed, and you could see." And what we did was taped it up. That was because to rewire it was actually not worth doing for the value of the car. And when I thought about that, I thought about, it's a bit like us. We know we can look lovely on the outside, presentable, lovely, but ultimately it's what's underneath that God sees, isn't it? And just like the wiring be chewed in that particular car, there's sin that maybe others don't see, others are not aware of, but in the quiet moments we realise that that's a reality, that we do say things that we regret. We do think things we shouldn't think. We have done things that we're ashamed of as we look back. But isn't it great there's an answer in Jesus? That whatever we've done, and I come back to another story of sitting with a man that had killed 2 people, that had done 45 years in prison. And folks say, "Oh my goodness, you must have been scared being the same." It wasn't that far from here, it was in Fivey, it was when Norman Ogston had the place. I don't know what it is now, but it was said that it was the rehab place at Fivey, Sunny Bray. And sitting in a room with that man, but he'd become a Christian. And even though he had committed these heinous crimes, he'd become a Christian. And in his 70s, his life was wasted, obviously. But he'd the prospect of a home in heaven because of asking the Lord for forgiveness. 2 brothers used to run with the gangs out fighting in Los Angeles. It's a true story. And they would carry knives and they would use them. One particular night they were out and one brother killed another man. He ran back to his house, changed his clothes and he ran back in the night. The older brother came in and he saw the bloodstained clothes lying. And he thought, "We can't let him go to..." His mother could never live with him going to prison for life. So he put on his brother's clothes and he went to the local police station and he confessed his brother's crime. And he went to prison for life. He took his place His brother had committed the crime. His brother had murdered a man, but he took his place. On the cross, Jesus became our substitute. He took our place. He bled and died for us. And there's forgiveness for all, isn't there? There's forgiveness for all. I was thinking back to when I was younger and how long it took for the penny to drop. Growing up in the meeting and hearing about Jesus since I was a child, the flannel graph, some of us will remember the flannel graphs that used to be in the wall and they put on the bits bit by bit. And low technology, but it was effective. It really was effective. It got the message home. And I look back and I can't really remember not believing in the existence of God. I cannot really remember believing in the existence of Jesus or the fact that Jesus had died on the cross. But it wasn't until I was nearly 17 that I came to understanding myself. I came to realise I had to do something myself. I had to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you've grown up in the church, maybe you're listening online, and when you'll be listening online this maybe later, and you've grown up in church, you've grown up around Christians, you've grown up with Christian friends, you've heard their testimonies, you've read Christian books. All of these things are good and important, but there's not been a moment in your life when you came to a point where you've asked Jesus to forgive your sins. And that really is the most important thing in all the world. Most important thing. I don't think Alex Salmond, when he went out to Eastern Europe, was thinking about dying. A friend of mine saw him in an aeroplane coming up from London to Aberdeen about a month before he went. And as much as I think we could say that he didn't look the most healthy at times, I would assume Alex Salmond would have private healthcare, being a wealthy individual. I'm sure he'd have looked after his health and read regular checks with the doctor. But just like that, I don't know what our feelings are about him, but I know that certainly colleagues at Elgin Academy thought very highly of him. People had met him, and certainly was a very able man, a very clever man. But for all that, 69 years of age, bang, gone. And it's quite sobering when we hear of somebody being taken so quickly in that particular way. We need to be ready. What about those of other faiths? You hear people sometimes, sadly even in the church, saying, well, and if I can quote Jürgen Moltmann, somebody that's often quoted by people within this denomination, I'm not saying all the things he said weren't good and helpful, but one of the things I read, it just about fell off my chair when I read it, when he said of people of other faiths, people of other faiths, you should just encourage them to pursue their particular path. You should just encourage them to pursue their particular path. No way. Acts 4:12. There is only one name under heaven whereby you must be saved. And it's not Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha. It is not Guru Nanak, the Guru. It is not Muhammad or Allah from Islam. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save us today. And Satan is so cunning, he will try and deceive us. He'll try and make us think we've got plenty of time, but none of us know how long we've got. Try and tell us that it's okay just to be coming along to the church. And that's important, of course it is. But there needs to be a moment, there needs to be a time when we turn to Jesus for ourselves. Perhaps we can think of a date. Perhaps we can think of an occasion. Really hope and pray we do this morning, because it's the most important thing that we get right with him. In Acts 3:19, a verse I always like to quote, Gospels encapsulate it so beautifully, where it says, repent and turn to God, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Repent and turn to God, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. What does it mean to repent? Does it mean to just feel sorry? Well, I used to talk to prisoners who said, I didn't do it, and they didn't seem to be remorseful or repentant of what they had done. But if we are genuinely repentant, it is as turning around as an act of the will and putting our trust in Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross. Asking for his forgiveness, coming to him in simplicity, coming to him in honesty and sincerity. And if we do so, he's willing to forgive and to cleanse us from all our sins. He's significant because he's the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. He's significant because he's the Savior. And lastly, he's significant because he's coming back. That's the next event in God's calendar, is the return of the Lord Jesus. Now, there's somebody been saying to God Channel recently that it can happen within a matter of months. And I think it's a bit dangerous. Somebody that's very significant. He's actually got a doctorate. Quite a significant figure that's followed by a lot of Christians. And he said that he reckons the rapture could happen within a couple of months. Well, none of us know, do we? God knows, of course, obviously. But that's the next event in God's calendar. And that's something that the most high-budget Hollywood movie would not be able to depict. When think of what the scene will be like when there's myriads of angels, when the sky opens, a myriad of angels are above us, and some of us perhaps will still be alive and will be caught up, others will be resurrected. And what a fantastic occasion that will be. What a fantastic event that will be. The coming of the Lord will dispel grief. Many of us are grieving because we've lost loved ones over the years, people who are precious to us, and we still grieve their loss. But the coming of the Lord will dispel that. The coming of the Lord will defy speculation. Think of how people are so speculative. Well, see, Christians are saying that Jesus is coming back. You can't really believe that, can you? In our high-tech world, in our very sophisticated world, you can't really believe that. Well, again, we come back to the Bible, and the Bible makes it clear that he will return. He will return for his own. And the coming of the Lord also demands holiness. When we think about Jesus, who he is, what he has done, his holiness, surely it challenges us as well to live a holy life, to keep short accounts with God, that we don't allow stuff to build up, but we get before him and we let him, as the psalmist encourages us, to search our hearts to see if there be any wicked way in us, and we draw close to him in real fellowship every day. Something to be grateful for, to be a Christian today, if you're a Christian. We should be constantly grateful. We should be unselfish in our goodness because the Lord's been so good to us. And I'm sure looking around, that's the case with folks here, but let's not get complacent. Let's continue to do what's right as we think about these things, because the fact that we don't know how long we've got and that his coming is imminent should really focus our minds as Christian people. He's done it all, you know, through his death. He's done it all. There's nothing that we can add to it this morning. And as we think about anything we might be going through this morning that's difficult, that's challenging, and there's always challenges that come to us in our lives, the fact that we belong to Jesus, the fact that we're safe in his hands in the middle of all that's going on, if you think about it this morning, if you're not a Christian, it's a pretty scary world to be in. As we see the things that are happening in the Middle East, as we see obviously the ongoing conflict between Russia and Ukraine, and we see that really the threat even to our own land in years to come, we don't know. We're thankful to God that come next year, it'll be 80 years since we were at war. 2025, wasn't it? It's 45 that we were lost at war. 80 years. But we can't be complacent with the way that things are going on all around about us. But when we're trusting in God, it was Larry Norman that said, some of us remember Larry Norman, he was the man with the long blonde hair and the leather jackets that used to be sing these Christian rock songs. Well, certainly I remember them from in my youth. And he used to say, and of course, now it's not as relevant out this other side of the Cold War. He used to say, don't worry about what happens if they drop the bomb. Worry what happens about where you'll be if they do that. And of course, I don't think that's likely. But the reality is, whatever happens in this life, if you're a Christian, whatever happens, your life is safe in the hand of the Lord. What a prospect. He is significant because he's the Son of God. Not just a prophet, not just a miracle worker. The time of Jesus, there was other miracle workers around. There were people doing miracles. I don't know if you know this, folks, but people can do miracles with the power of Satan. They can duplicate I've met people that have been healed by the devil, and then they were worried when they got saved that they would lose their healing, but they didn't lose their healing. So the devil can replicate healings. So there were miracle workers other than Jesus around at the time of Jesus. A great teacher. Well, there's many folk that would go back and say, yes, agree with many of the things that he said. He sets a good pattern for young people to live their lives, for all of us to live our lives. But the thing is, it's most important is he's the Son of God. God's only Son. Secondly, because he's the Saviour. You can't be saved by works. The Bible's quite clear that nobody can be saved by works. And isn't there part of us that thinks that we should have something to add to our salvation, something to bring to our salvation? It was Eric Alexander who said famously many years ago, the only thing we bring to our salvation is the sin that necessitates it. From beginning to end, it's all of grace. It's God's grace. Ephesians 2, for it's by grace that you're saved, not by works, lest anybody should boast. There's nothing that we bring but our sin. Is able to save to the uttermost this morning. And he's coming back, and that's the thing, folks, that should keep us going today. That's the thing that should keep us going, that he's coming back. He's coming back. This week I was sitting next to a lady who was, in fact, three women. Jean and I were out for a meal with our neighbours, and I was asked to give grace. And as you can imagine, it often leads, when it's mainly non-Christians, often leads to questions. And I sat down next to this 91-year-old woman from Portnochy, and the question she asked me was very interesting. Were you in the meeting? Now, for those of you that are not familiar, that's the Brethren Assembly, they call it the meeting. And of course, I did actually grow up in the Brethren Assembly. But that led to conversation to discover that she grew up in an exclusive meeting in Portnochy. And then the next lady actually went to the Baptist Church in Buckie. So you never know who you're sitting next to. And the amazing thing, they were all in their 90s. For once in a long time, I actually felt really young. Well, we can be whatever age we are today, but we're all looking forward to that last event when he comes again. This lady was no longer going to the assembly, but she was a Christian. And that's great that when you're... Because when I'm sitting, if you're sitting next to me for any length of time, I'm going to challenge you. Because I think time's passing. Time's passing, and obviously we've got to be sensitive. But time's passing, and you know, folks, we've got, I was just saying to Norman earlier on, there are some people that are a bit like the Grinch about Christmas. I don't know how familiar you are with the Grinch film, but the Grinch is this creature who had bad experiences when he was younger. So he lives away up in this mountain, and he's angry at all the people who are enjoying Christmas with the lights and the trees and the festivities. He's angry. He's up there, and he's billowing out angry, and he takes out a book, and he looks at it, looks at these people's pictures, and he goes, loathe, hate, goes all through the book. The Grinch, but of course, there's a happy ending to the story. Some folk are like the Grinch about Christmas. They don't like the idea that there's lights and Christmas trees and decorations up too early. They're saying, no, it's 12 days before Christmas and that's it. Let me flip that and say, I think it's a positive thing, because as Christians, it gives us a longer period of time to talk to people about Jesus. If the decorations and the Christmas trees are up earlier, it gives us a longer period of time to share our faith. And let's use, even over these next days that we have leading up to Christmas, that when some people will say things, that throwaway line, it's just another day. Some people will say that throwaway line, you're able to say, well, I think it's more than that. Can I tell you what happened to me? Can I tell you what my experiences of Jesus? Let's not be slow to use the opportunities that are there for each one of us. Now, as we close our time together, we're going to sing to God's praise a very well-known carol, Joy to the World. Joy to the World. key through the back, isn't there? So let's pray together. Our God and Father, we thank you that you loved us first and sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us. And we're so thankful for that this morning, because we know we don't deserve your love, we don't deserve your grace, we deserve hell and damnation. That's what we deserve. But we thank you, our God, that you have opened the way through Jesus, through his life, through his death, through his resurrection. You've opened the way for sinners, repentant sinners, to know him, to become Christians, to have the hope of heaven and peace with God. And I pray that today, Lord, for any of us who have not taken that step, that today we may take that step. This Christmas may become a special Christmas for us as we take that step of faith, as we turn away from our sins and put our faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus. Father, we ask now that you bless our Father time of fellowship together. We thank you for the tea and the nice things provided for our body's refreshment. And we ask your blessing upon them now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.